I'm going to speak to you today on the subject, the Lord's Supper, called by some communion, the Lord's table, others the Lord's Supper. And I'm choosing as a text a passage from the 22nd chapter of Luke, verse 19 and 20. If you care to, open your Bibles to Luke 22, verse 19 and 20. The Master is speaking here to His disciples, and it said He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament or covenant in My blood, which is shed for you." Now, most people have 1,000 misunderstandings about the Lord's table. Others have 1,000 questions. But I'm going to try, if the Spirit of God will be our teacher and give me the understanding and wisdom, I'm going to try in this message to clear up the misunderstandings and answer the questions about the Lord's Supper. Now, we have to go back and start when Israel was in Egypt. When the nation Israel was in bondage and captivity in the land of Egypt, they'd been there almost 400 years. And the Lord showed mercy to them and was pleased to deliver them from the hand of Pharaoh and from the slavery of Egypt. He sent, you remember, several plagues upon the land of Egypt. And every time Pharaoh would halfway promise to let the people go, and then he'd change his mind. The Scripture said he hardened his heart. Well, after God sent 8 or 9 plagues, the Lord came to Moses, and He said this. He said, "Moses, speak to the children of Israel. Have them, number one, take a lamb for each house. If the house is too small for a lamb, they can't eat all the lamb between them, then have a lamb for 2 houses, but have at least a lamb for every house. Secondly, it's to be a lamb of the first year. In the prime of life, it's to be a male lamb. And then thirdly, the lamb is to be put up or penned up for 4 days. It's to be penned up for 4 days, from the 10th day to the 14th day. And that lamb is to be observed, because it's not to have one blemish or one spot. It's to be a lamb of the first year, a male lamb, and it's to be without blemish and without spot, without disease. And then on the 14th day of that given month, they were to kill the lamb in the evening, and they were to roast the body with fire and eat all of it, leave none of it to the morning. And then they were to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the lintel and the 2 side posts of the house. And the Lord said, I'll pass through the land of Egypt at midnight, and I will kill the firstborn in every home, from Pharaoh's palace even to the firstborn of the cattle in the field. And Israel will be protected, for this is the Lord's Passover. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Now, I want you to clearly understand what I'm saying, because this is very important. This is the foundation for the Lord's Supper, for the Lord's table. Israel is in Egypt, and God will deliver Israel out of the land of Egypt. And He will do so through the blood. He said for the Israelites to kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll pass over you. And this is the Lord's Passover. Now, like every sacrifice in the Old Testament, and like every sin offering, from the first one which Abel offered, the blood on the altar, this is a picture of Jesus Christ the Lord, who is our Passover. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, I know it for many reasons, but chiefly The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Now, you'll never understand the Lord's table. You'll never understand how and why it was instituted and what it means unless you can somehow lay hold upon what I'm saying right now. Every Old Testament sacrifice and every Old Testament sin offering, every Old Testament offering and priest and altar is a picture of Christ. It is a promise of Christ to come. You must see that. The Old Testament is Christ and His sacrifice in prophecy, in promise, and in picture, and in type and shadow. The New Testament is Christ in person, fulfilling every prophecy, fulfilling every promise, and fulfilling every picture. For example, let me give you two or three. Our Lord said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's a picture. Jonah is a picture of Christ in the earth. Christ said that Himself. And then there was a rock which Moses smote, out of which water came to satisfy and quench the thirst of Israel. And that rock followed them. And Paul wrote in the New Testament, that rock was Christ. That rock from which they received water and nourishment and strength is a picture of Christ. That rock was Christ. And then our Lord said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you see, this lifting up of the brazen serpent was not just some hocus pocus and some unique way God had of delivering those bitten by the fire serpents. It's a type of Christ. It's a picture of Christ. All right? Notice this. Four times in the Scripture, it is declared that Jesus Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, let's go back to this lamb. Here at midnight, God said, I'm coming through the land of Egypt in judgment, in wrath, in destruction. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now, Egypt is a picture of the world. It's a picture of sin. And as Israel was in captivity in Egypt, in bondage and slavery in Egypt, even so spiritual Israel, and those for whom Christ died and those whom God has purposed to save, they're in bondage, they're in slavery, they're in sin, they're in Egypt, they're in darkness, they must be delivered, they must be saved. So God said to Israel, take a lamb. A lamb, that's of a male, and it's Christ Jesus our Lord, of the first year in the full strength and health of life, a lamb without blemish or spot. That's our Lord's holiness and righteousness. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He had no sin. Our Lord was a man, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And that lamb was without blemish or spot, even as our Lord Jesus Christ is without sin. And then as the lamb was put up in a pen for 4 days and watched and observed to see that there was no fault in him, no blemish or spot, our Lord walked on this earth 33 and a half years, and they found no fault in Him. Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. He knew no sin. He was without sin. And then as the Lamb was slain, our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. He's the Lamb slain, yea, before the foundation of the world. But actually, in His death on Calvary's cross, He was slain and His blood was shed for us. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. As under the law, the Old Testament, almost all things were purged with blood. Even so, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And Peter wrote, we know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot or blemish, as a lamb without spot or blemish. And Paul wrote in Hebrews, by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. But the key verse linking the Passover with the Lord's table and with the death of Christ is the one Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5 when he said, "Even so, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Now then, notice this. This is very important. God commanded Israel to observe that Passover feast every year. He said you're to observe it every year. On this certain day, every year, the Passover is to be observed. And Moses wrote in Exodus 12:26, "And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this Passover service?" What are you doing? Every year they'd slay a lamb. Every year they'd roast its body with fire and eat it. Every year they'd take the blood and offer it as a sacrifice, called the Passover, every year. And he said, "Now when your children ask you, What do you mean by this service? Then you shall say to them, It is the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians." When God visited Egypt in judgment and wrath and condemnation and smote the Egyptians, he delivered us. And he delivered us through the Passover. Now the Passover feast continued. From that day, when Moses and Israel observed it in Egypt, from that day until the day Jesus Christ came to this earth, they were still observing the Passover. And they did it to fulfill all the law. You say, "Well, why did the Lord Jesus Christ observe the Passover?" Well, He was our righteousness. And the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled every type and every sacrifice and every holy day and every law to bring in a perfect righteousness before God. You see, He was made of a woman. He was made under the law. Christ, when He came to this earth, was born of a woman, just like we are. And He was born under the law of the home, under the law of the land, under the Levitical law, under the law of circumcision, under the sabbatical law, under the moral, under every law. And He had to fulfill them all perfectly. He was circumcised when He was 8 days old, being a Jewish boy. He was taken to the temple when He was a certain age to fulfill the sacrifice of purification, the sin offering for His mother. He was brought to the temple when He was 12 years old. He was baptized of John in the River Jordan. And John said, "You've got no business being baptized of me. I ought to be baptized of you." And Christ said, "Suffer it to be so to fulfill all righteousness." And so on this night, on the evening before His betrayal and before His crucifixion, as was His custom, our Lord gathered His disciples around the table with Him to observe the Passover. You notice there in Luke 22, He said to the disciples, "Go and make ready a place where we can eat the Passover." And it reaches all the way back to Egypt, all the way back to the time that God passed through Egypt and slew the firstborn, and Moses had Israel slay a lamb and eat the roasted body and put the blood on the door. It goes all the way back there. And every year, the children of Israel observe that Passover. They observe circumcision. They observe the holy days. They observe the Feast of the Tabernacle. They observe the Sabbath day. They observe all those things. And Christ did too. The Lord Jesus Christ was born in a Jewish home under the Jewish law, under the Levitical law, and He fulfilled every bit of it by obeying it. And when He obeyed it as our representative, He fulfilled it. And it ceased as far as the believer is concerned. And that's what happened here. Now, stay with me. Listen carefully. If you've got questions, they'll be answered. But now that Christ was to be slain, and this was on the eve, He is our Passover, slain for us. He is our sacrifice. There's one more lamb to be offered after all these years, after all these Passover feasts, after all these sacrifices. There's one lamb, God's lamb. God's lamb without spot or blemish. God's sacrifice, on the eve of His sacrifice, on the eve of His offering, on the eve of His crucifixion, He gathered around the table with His disciples. This is the last Passover. For after this, there'll be no need of a Passover. There'll be no need of a Sabbath day. There'll be no need of a holy day. There'll be no need of these feasts because Christ is the fulfillment. After He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. And Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And when God sees His blood He doesn't have to see any other sacrifice, any other offering, because Christ is the sufficient sacrifice. And when he sees his blood, he'll pass over us. There's no judgment. There is therefore now no judgment, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Lord fulfills the Passover picture in his sacrifice. And as he sat with his disciples around the table observing the last Passover before his crucifixion, he instituted and ordained the Lord's table. He gave to his disciples the Lord's Supper. And he tells them this as he takes the bread. He holds the bread in his hand. And he broke the bread. He blessed it and he broke it. And he gave it to them. And he said, "This is my body. This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup of wine and he blessed it. And he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, the new testament, which is shed for you. No more lambs slain, no more lambs eaten, no more blood shed, no more sacrifice. This is it. This is my body broken. This is my blood shed. You eat the bread and drink the wine in remembrance of me." In remembrance of me. And as often, Paul said, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. And the key to the observance of the Lord's Supper and the key to understanding or comprehending the Lord's table is in these words, "This do in remembrance of me." Now, my friends, the Lord's Supper is not a sacrifice. It is not a sacrifice. Christ is our sacrifice. It is not a sacrifice. It's a memorial feast. These elements do not contain the body and blood of Christ. They represent the body and blood of Christ. That's right. This is not a sacrament. That is, it has no saving power. Christ is the only Savior. It has no more saving power than water in baptism has cleansing power. It's the blood that cleanseth us from all sin, not the water. And the water is a picture. Baptism is a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It's identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. It is not actually putting away sin. It pictures the putting away of sin. And this bread, this element, this symbol represents Christ's body, which was broken, which does put away sin. And this wine is symbolic. It represents the blood of Christ, which does put away sin. And the whole purpose is summed up in these words, "This do in remembrance of me." He didn't say, "This do in order to be saved." He didn't say, "This do in order to stay in fellowship." He didn't say, "This do in order to get the church together in one accord." He didn't say, "This do as superstition." He said, "This do in remembrance of me." And then the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 instructed the church in their observance of the Lord's table. Now listen to him. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said, "That which I have received of the Lord." That's why we call it the Lord's table. It's not the church's table, it's the Lord's table. The Lord instituted it, the Lord ordained it, the Lord gave it, and the Lord will bless it. The same night in which he was betrayed. Now listen to me. The same night in which he was crucified, for he is our Passover. He is the fulfillment of the Passover. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And Christ is the fulfillment. He took bread, unleavened bread. Now, which is a picture of his perfect life. You see, leaven is a type of sin. And all the leaven was to be removed from the houses of Israel when they observed the Passover. All leaven. It was to be unleavened bread. You can take unleavened bread and put it in your cabinet in your kitchen and it'll stay there for months and months and months. It'll never mold. It'll never decay. It's without leaven. And Christ's body is without sin. And therefore, to accurately observe the Lord's table, unleavened bread is to be used because it pictures our Lord's perfect life. And then the wine, he broke that bread. He took that bread and broke it, which shows his suffering. Shows his suffering to show his body was broken in suffering and agony on that tree. Broken. And then he took the wine, which also pictures his sinless life. Wine, which juice, which is put up in the cabinet, will mold, it'll spoil, but wine, which is fermented, will not spoil. And you can keep it for months, even years. And it represents the holy, spotless life of Christ. And another way that that wine represents the suffering of our Lord is the grape has the juice in it, and the grape is pulverized, and the grape is squeezed, and the grape has the very life mashed out of it, and the juice comes out. And that's Christ's blood was shed. His body was broken, and his blood was shed. It's an accurate picture. He took the bread and broke it. This is my body broken for you. He took the wine that was poured from the grape and squeezed out of the grape and mashed out of the grape, gave it to them, says, this is my blood. Now, when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes. It's not a saving power. It's not a sacrament. It's a memorial. You show the Lord's death till he comes. I'd like to show you how the Lord's table shows some things about the suffering, the life and suffering of Christ. Number one, it shows his incarnation. The bread represents his flesh, his body. And the wine represents his blood. That's flesh and blood. Our Lord became a man of flesh and blood. He actually came into this world in flesh and blood. Secondly, it shows his holiness, unleavened bread and wine, without leaven, without evil. And then thirdly, it shows his suffering, for the bread was broken and the wine was poured out. And then it shows his substitution. He said, broken for you and blood shed for you. And then it shows our union with Christ because we eat it. That's what Israel did with the lamb. They roasted it, which shows our Lord's fiery sufferings on the cross. And they ate the lamb. And we take the bread and put it in our mouths and chew it up and swallow it and drink the wine. And that shows our union with Christ. Our union with Christ. Now, let me ask this question. Who is to observe the Lord's table? There seems to be a lot of issues raised about that, a lot of questions raised, a lot of conflict. Well, I'm telling you this, the Lord's table is to be observed, first of all, by believers only, those who know Christ. Because I ask this question, how can you remember one whom you've never known? Our Lord gave the bread to his disciples and the wine to his disciples, and he said to them, this do in remembrance of me. They knew him. They loved him. They believed him. They walked with him. And they could remember him. Now, one who's never loved Christ and never known Christ certainly can never remember Christ. And then Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 said this, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. What shall we examine ourselves about? What is this examination concerning? Well, first of all, do I know Christ? Do I love Christ? Do I believe on Christ? And then do I discern? You know what the word discern means? It means to judge. It means to understand. Do I discern the Lord's broken body? Do I know what this represents, what this is all about? I've got no business at the Lord's table if I don't know what this is all about. For Paul said, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily or in an unworthy manner, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's broken body, and not understanding, not judging the Lord's broken body. So who is to come to the Lord's table? Well, those who know Christ, those who choose to remember Christ, those who have something for which to remember Christ, his sacrifice, and those who discern in a spiritual experience, who judge and understand what it's all about. It's not just a ritual. It's not just a religious ceremony. It's not just something to make folks feel good. It's not just for atmosphere. It's a memorial supper. It's a feast celebrating the sacrifice of our Lord and remembering him who loved us and gave himself for us. Who observed the Passover? Israel. Israel, the people who were delivered. Israel, the people who were brought out of Egypt. Israel, the people whom God delivered by his grace and power. Who observes the Lord's tables? Spiritual Israel. Believers who are delivered from sin, who are delivered from darkness and evil, who are delivered from this present evil world by the blood of the Lord, whom they remember and whom they honor and whom they exalt, they observe the Lord's table. Now then, how long are we to observe it? He said, till I come. Till I come. As often as you, and how often are we to observe it? There's no rule. You say, should we observe it every Lord's Day or twice or three or four times a year or whatever? There's no rule. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death. For how long? Till he comes. And if your children ask you the meaning of this service, what mean ye by this service? You're to say to them, it's the Lord's table. It's the Lord's supper. In other words, when Israel, when their children asked, what mean ye by this Passover? It's the Lord's Passover, who delivered us from Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and destroyed them. And our children ask us, what is this Lord's Supper? It is the supper of the Lord, who delivered us from sin by the sacrifice of himself. And when he passes through in judgment, we're delivered. We show it. To whom do we show it? Well, I show it to myself. It strengthens me. I show it to God. Oh God, this is my hope. I show it to fellow believers. I'm with you in the one hope, Christ Jesus. And then I show it to the world. It's instruction in the way of life. Now, this very important message on the Lord's table is on a cassette tape, along with another message I'll be bringing next week on the subject, the life of faith. Now, I feel these are two very significant messages, very important messages, and I believe they'll be helpful to those who'll take them and study them and listen to them and pass them on to someone else. And I want you to have them. This message, the Lord's table, and the one next week on the life of faith. If you'll write to us, we'll send you these two messages on one cassette tape. You send a donation of $2. That's what it cost us to make them and mail them to you. And we'll be glad to send them by return mail. Write for the tape, the Lord's table, and the life of faith. Until next week, I bid you a very pleasant good day.